And now, a personal favourite of mine, stay right here for another instalment from Documentally.
I found my way to Cambridge. I don't often get into Cambridge itself, but today it was well worth it because I'm meeting with Natalie Bennett, leader of the Green Party. Lovely to meet you.
It's great to be here.
There is the chinking of cups and possibly any time now the sound of a coffee machine, which is nowhere near as chaotic as your life at the moment.
No, indeed. I'm sort of keeping up with the phone calls, the texts, the be here, be at this studio, be at that studio. Can you do this in 5 minutes' time? It's pretty frantic.
Can we safely say the Green Party have hit a tipping point here?
I think very much so. I mean, right at the moment as I'm speaking, we're adding every 12 hours, we're adding an extra 1,000 new members are joining us. That means in about the last, since about Wednesday, that means we've put on probably by now about 5,500 new members. This is all so fast and so new. I mean, we've seen what's known as the green surge, and yes, that is the hashtag. That started about September. And back then we were quite excited that just suddenly and really unpredictably we started adding about 1,000 members a week. But it's really since the leader debate erupted on Wednesday that we've seen a new level of the surge. And someone asked me a couple of days ago, what's the 3 to 5 year plan for the Green Party? And at the moment we don't really have a 3 to 5 week plan for the Green Party.
You seem pretty confident and on top of it all.
Well, I think the thing is that we're seeing politics, I've been talking about politics breaking wide open for quite some time, for pretty well ever since I was elected as Green Party leader. You could really feel that people were just fed up with, you know, 2.5 party politics. We've now clearly got to 5 or 6 party politics in Britain. And people, you know, really get that we've got an economic, an environmental and a social crisis that are all happening at the same time. They're all related to our economic model, which is broken. And it's time for change. And if you think back to, most of us probably weren't around then, but the Thatcher time, when Margaret Thatcher, you know, rose to prominence and politics suddenly changed and the terms of the debate changed. We've been stuck in Thatcherite type debate ever since. You know, greed is good, the planet is infinite. That's now clearly reached its end point and it's time for a new political philosophy, a new approach, a new way of talking about politics.
It's interesting, the terms green and the terms ethical, buzzwords and kind of ways to sell stuff once upon a time have now become more and more embedded into the minds of the consumer. And up to a point, I started to give in a way with our political options, and I thought maybe I should vote now with my purchases, with my money. And it's fascinating to have that, and I think effective too, to have that filter on yourself and ask yourselves questions along the lines of, is this purchase I'm making good for my children's future?
That's, you know, individual behaviour and that's great. But the problem is that even if all of us, you know, try to do the right thing individually, as a society we've still got the structures that mean, you know, often you have no choice but to make a journey by car because there's no public transport option. You know, we're still producing vast quantities of waste that no matter how carefully you shop, you're still going to be producing a lot of waste, and there's a lot of waste behind the products that you're using, and, you know, very often they're not reused, they're maybe not even recycled. So what we've got to do really is have genuine structural change, economic change, change in the way our society works, so that we make doing the green, environmentally friendly thing the cheapest, simplest, easiest, just obvious and natural thing to do, so you can even stop thinking about it.
So what are the biggest challenges do you see in front of the Green Party right now?
The biggest challenge is we've got the problem at the moment of success and how to convert that success, the new members, the new supporters, people really engaging with us, into an election result in May. And that really is going to be something that we, no matter how big the Green Party gets in the next few weeks and months, we can't do on our own. We need the voters to help us with that. And, you know, what I can imagine the possibilities for this election, and the Scots have shown us the way with their referendum. 97% of eligible people enrolled to vote, 85% of people voting, young people voting at almost the same proportion as the over 60s. And people voting for what they believe in, not listening to, oh, it's first past the post, you've got to vote for us even if you don't like us because the others are worse. But people actually voting for what they believe in. Look at your local candidates, look at the parties, look at their policies, look at the person. make sure you vote and go and vote for the one you believe in. And if we do that, young people turn out in huge numbers, then we can have a peaceful political revolution.
You mentioned the word revolution. Some people have been so apathetic recently, they're waiting for the generational change, the change that happens over a very long period of time, because the younger generation seem to be more clued up as to what the future needs. Other people, can I mention Russell Brand here, might think that we need a revolution right now and it's going to be an explosive one. What's your take on those kind of extremes?
Well, I very much believe in democracy. We have to act in a democratic way. We have to reflect the will of the people, and the will of the people has to be able to be expressed in our politics. And one of the alternatives, one of the things we talk about is, this election is going to, more than ever before, expose the fact that we've got a failed 20th century first-past-the-post electoral system. So one of the things we're calling for, it will have to be after this election now, but is a people's constitutional convention. We haven't really reformed Westminster in 100 years. It's too late to tinker with it. Let's start with a blank sheet, have a people's constitutional convention, draw people from around the country, send them in randomly so they're representative of the whole population, put them together with the experts, with the time, with the advice, and draw up a new constitution from scratch. And of course, I've got ideas about what that should look like. It certainly should be proportional representation. It certainly should not have an unelected House of Lords. And there certainly shouldn't be, a special representative of the financial sector having access to the parliament that no other sector has. But what I'm saying is, rather than me offering a prescription, I want to say, turn to the people, you draw up the kind of political system you want for the 21st century.
David Cameron has suddenly kind of chirped up. It's not the right term, I don't know. He's joined the conversation about TV debates, and he's now asking for you to be involved. What do you think has caused this sudden turning up of the volume or turning around? I don't know.
Well, I think it's very obvious. It won't surprise, I suspect, any single one of your listeners that Mr. Cameron is operating as leader of the Tory party in the interests of the Tory party. But what's important and interesting is the fact that he can make this argument because it's an argument that has massive public backing. A whole slew of polls this week put us 70% or so of people are saying, yes, the Greens should be there. 275,000 people signed a change.org petition saying we should be there. It's an argument that can be made. If he said, I'm not doing this unless the raving monster loony party is there, people would go, oh, come on, Mr. Cameron. But he's got a case, and that's why politically he can make that point, make that argument.
Plus, I've only known you now for about 20 minutes, and I think it would be a lot more exciting TV having you there, if I may say so. How do we keep hold of this Natalie Bennett? What happens should you get wrapped up in the system? Because a lot does happen to people in the machine.
Well, I think what I can say is what's behind me is, I'm speaking as a leader of the Green Party, but that means I'm representing, as of about an hour ago, 40,000 members in England and Wales, and they have very strong democratic controls over what I do and what I say. When I was first elected as leader, I had lots of mainstream media journalists going, so you're the new leader, what new policies are you bringing in? And I said, policies in the Green Party are made democratically by the members at conference. Any four members of the Green Party can propose a policy. Conference will consider it. If it accepts it, that becomes policy. And then the mainstream media journalists went, yes, but what new policies are you bringing in? At which point I beat my head against the wall quietly. But the Green Party has very, very strong democratic structures. And just one example for effect. I'm elected for 2 years as leader, and then I faced re-election. Now, I was very honoured that this time, 6 months or so ago, no one stood against me, so I was re-elected unopposed. But any member of the Green Party could have put themselves forward. And that's, that regular check, six monthly conferences, leaders, members of the National Executive, re-elected every 2 years. We have the really strong democratic structures that you don't find in any of the mainstream parties.
There's somebody sat out there on the fence right now, maybe quite a few people, still not knowing what to do. When they get to the ballot paper, why should they be putting an X in the Green Party box?
what we need is to change the society so that it works for the common good, so that everybody has access to the resources for a decent quality of life while we're all collectively living within the limits of one planet, because one planet is all we've got. So that means, in terms of concrete terms, we want to make the minimum wage a living wage, set a minimum wage of £10 an hour by 2020. We want to stop the privatisation of public services, say that the profit motive has no place in healthcare, in our NHS. We want to bring the railways back into public hands, run them for passengers, not shareholders. And we want zero university tuition fees, because education is a public good. We need to reform our education system, not only make it free, but also stop it being an exam factory, that people are rammed through exam after exam after exam. And we have to look after this planet.
Now, we connected on Twitter. Where can people find you on Twitter, and where should they go for more information?
Okay, you can find me at Natalie Ben, N-A-T-A-L-I-E-B-E-N, which is my very old handle. It probably should have been something else, but I already had too many followers to change it. You'll find me, of course, on Facebook as Natalie Bennett, Green Party Leader. If you want to find the whole detailed Green Party policies, if you've got quite a bit of time, if you Google Green Party policy, you'll find the website where all of those democratically agreed policies are. If you want the short version, if you Google Green Party manifesto, you'll get a nice short, very, very easy to read, I think it's a 24-page booklet. So that's the short version.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.